fans of real basketball and virtual basketball alike. Welcome to episode number 115 of the NLSC podcast. Back on the air this week after we had to miss last week due to some unfortunate circumstances here on the southeast coast of Australia. I'm Andrew, very happy to have internet that is not reliant on my phone and all its extra data charges. I am joined by Ben, also known as Arcane.
G'day, and interesting new intro.
Yes, and what are you happy about this week, Ben? I mean, I've got working internet, so I'm back in the 21st century.
That all my bills are paid at the moment, so
there's always a good feeling. That yes.
Yep. So not as broke as I was last fortnight.
And you would think that not having internet would be an excuse for not paying your bills, but these companies want to get money.
Yes. Yep.
But yeah, I was fortunately not hit too hard by the storm, if you discount not having power for a couple of days and no internet, and except for on my phone, of course, managed to make a few updates on the site whenever I could. Actually got on eBay and ordered a laptop charger for my car, which arrived the day after I got the power back on. So. But it actually came from Victoria, which was not too bad to come in just a couple of days, but it's there for... there for future use if the worst happens again. A lot of people did have it worse, unfortunately. A few fatalities and some families who did lose a lot more than I did. I just couldn't play video games for a couple of days. What, talk about first world problems.
Yep.
But nevertheless, I'm back in the swing of things, catching up on all my, caught up on all the emails and on top of the updates as usual now. Back to business this week. ADSL is back on, so I can do all the fun stuff. A little bit more, but and one of those things, of course, is recording the podcast, which I missed doing last week because we actually had a run going. We'd gotten back in the swing of things, Ben.
Yes.
We weren't missing things. We were getting on there, and...
Mother Nature had to be, it's, well...
Mother Nature was a bitch,
yep.
shall we say. But, yes, fortunately, all good, and the just want to recognize a lot of people have been doing some great things, here in the Hunter and up to Dungog, Maitland Way. They were hit a lot harder. Sydney as well got a bit of it. The SES workers and everything doing a lot of great work. Ausgrid working around the clock to get power up and running. So actually, I just saw on my Facebook feed today, one of my friends is looking to volunteer for the SES in the future. So that's good on him, and that's really good. And
yep.
They've done some tremendous work. But nevertheless, we are here to record another podcast for real and virtual basketball fans alike. As I said, as you noted, Ben, trying out the new intro, a little bit of news to discuss on the upcoming games, as well as the most recent releases. What else have we got on the show today? You've got a bit of a running feature with a retro game talk, especially since I've been picking up some old games off eBay recently. A bit of patching news, and then we'll, of course, talk about the 2015 NBA playoffs and all the things that are going on in the world of the real NBA. So without any further ado, let's get to it.
Sounds good.
So we're going to open again with another reminder about our wish list. I keep making so many final reminders that it's getting a bit silly, but we are still compiling it. Again, one of those things that got pushed back because I haven't been able to really spend a whole lot of time in the forum using my phone for the last week or so with the data. We are still compiling that. Want to make the final top 10 to 15. Even when we do submit the quote-unquote official NLSC wish list, we still want to throw those ideas out there so that the developers can read them and just so we can talk about them ourselves. Want to welcome a lot of new people to the forum, and certainly want to thank the official NBA Live Twitter, whoever's running the social media on for EA Sports and NBA Live these days, actually tweeted out that they're looking for feedback and to hop on the NLSCs. Definitely appreciate the shout-out from the developers whenever we can get it. So a few people have signed up since then and been giving some really good feedback. So as always, get involved in the discussion. And once again, yeah, thanks to EA for reaffirming what I've said so often, is that they actually are listening. So it's not just going into the void. And it's always nice, Ben, to get that validation for them to say, oh, yes, we are actually listening to you guys.
Yep. And, just the recognition from EA, acknowledging... Mm. Us, even
we
though
exist.
Yeah, and especially considered that we are considered a fan site and not your traditional sort of news Like an IGN sort of, or Game
Or
Trailer.
Polygon or Kotaku or anything. Yeah, we're not media, basically, yeah.
So to get that, I don't want to say shout out, but or recognition, and that is greatly appreciated from them, and thanks for that. So yeah.
Absolutely. And speaking of the other game, 2K, of course, for those who have been living under a rock for the last 15 years or so, we actually have also finally started a 2K16 wish list. We do have a couple of guys from Visual Concepts in the forum, of course. Leftos being our being one of them. Hi, Leftos. And
Hey,
John, Jasmine.
Leftos.
They're covering stuff from the community, so by all means get the quality feedback in there as well. And that of course is in the 2K15 section, and the Live 16 wish list is in the Live 15 section. Not going to create the 16 sections just yet, a little bit too early, but I'm sure you can find them without too much trouble. They're right there, and they're stickied in those in the main discussion areas for 15 and Live 15 and 2K15. So I've also written two Friday Five articles recently discussing for some of my hopes for both games. As always, encourage you to check them out. Always enjoy writing them. Love hearing your feedback and your comments. Get the discussion going in the comments section, and if it helps you to shake loose a few ideas for the wish list, so be it. But otherwise, hope it's a fun read for you. And that reminds me, I'll need to get something written for tomorrow because once again, I've left it to the last minute. It's the school projects all over again with the Friday Five. I'm not, I've got at least I do actually have a bunch of lists ready to post. It's ready to expand upon, actually, so I at least don't have to think up five things, but I just need to write the paragraphs. But haven't decided what I'm going to do for tomorrow's, but depending on whether we well, one of the upcoming ones is going to be my favorite NBA Lives because we're doing the 20th anniversary content very soon, starting to get all that together. So look out for that. But in the meantime, I do have those Friday Five articles about what I want to see in Live 16 and 2K16. Speaking of what we might see on 2K16, Ben, there's at least it hasn't been confirmed by any reps from Visual Concepts as yet. A lot of people are still saying that it's merely speculation and fakes, but supposedly Polygon, who've reported on it, have discovered these leaked images of covers for 2K16 that have revealed the possible three cover players. Those being Stephen Curry, James Harden, and Kevin Durant again. I'm guessing that the repeat of Durant might be what has people thinking it could be fake. But it also has a Spike Lee joint on the front of these supposed leaked covers, along with the tagline "Be the Story," with the speculation being that Spike Lee, obviously being a filmmaker, has been involved in my career and developing some of the cinematic aspects of it, I suppose, the storytelling, which wouldn't surprise me since they are going with the heavily storyline-driven My Career mode these last couple of years. And Harden and Curry do certainly do seem like logical choices for the covers, but they've been able to confirm the leaked images as authentic, but there's no further comment or announcement as yet. I thought after the leak supposed leak last week, I should say, that we might get an announcement this week, and true to form, we'll probably get it as soon as this goes live. Because that's the way it goes with us.
35,
But,
40 minutes later, yeah,
oh, absolutely. Yeah. To put the disclaimer on there on the news post. But, well, I mean, we're taking it at face value that Polygon says that they're authentic images and that further announcements are to come. What's your take? Authentic or are you still skeptical?
Wouldn't surprise me. I think in most cases, when the development teams are in the early phases and that, they probably will have three or four candidates that they'll be looking at. So they'll do mock-ups and all that stuff, and obviously as time goes on, they'll make their choice closer to time and that for it and that. So it's possible it could have just been early phased prototyping concept stuff in conceptual art sort of phase that these covers were leaked out and that. So but it wouldn't surprise me if they did have the three in the end.
It wouldn't be unprecedented.
Yeah, well, I mean they've done it before, with 2K13 and all that stuff. So,
And the collectible covers, the three different covers, separate covers for 2K12 the year before. So,
yeah. So, they are the current leading last video game developer in that, and so they obviously have a lot more money to, I don't want to say throw around, but to use their strength and stuff like that. So,
well, they've definitely built a brand, especially with things like 2K TV
yep.
going beyond being just that, just a game developer, just a development team developing a basketball game. That they really have this brand going on, and the players themselves. I mean, back in the day, when we started playing basketball games, you'd have the players on the cover, and maybe they'd do some mocap and everything. But it was a different generation that didn't grow up with video games or sophisticated video games. Maybe played Space Invaders or something when you were in college in the late 70s, early 80s. But they weren't into games as we are. Now the players are. So it's what
It's
you look at.
a cultural change in that
Yeah,
sense. So yeah.
I mean, you look at Hassan Whiteside. Oh, I'm doing. I hope my rating in 2K goes up after this. We're seeing the players reference it.
Yep.
Reference gaming. It's and gaming is no longer. I mean, there's a whole other discussion, of course, that gaming no longer really has the stigma, just the same as comic books and other previously nerdy, geeky pursuits. It's become
Exactly.
more socially acceptable. So, so you actually have the athletes, the once the jocks who would never be touching such nerdy stuff openly. Anyway, it's been a very different. Remember that, but that's. I mean, that's a whole other discussion. But yeah, I'm trying to do the responsible thing as far as reporting on it. So it's all alleged, supposed, blah, 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 using all those fancy words. As you said, we're not media, but I still use all those media terms anyway. So that, because you want to do the right thing. There are fan sites and YouTubers, as we've said so many before, that do the clickbait and clickbait titles and spreading rumors and quoting quote unquote sources. So you don't want to be irresponsible to fans like that.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah, the unconfirmed sources say, that's probably one of the most annoying references in terms of
Yes.
the what's the word I'm looking for? The legitimacy of the, yeah,
Yes.
so yeah.
It's I mean, it's a great way to get hits and everything, and we're doing fine. We people know about us, and we're always getting the new members, which is fantastic. We welcome all new blood, as the case may be, but I would rather sacrifice some views and hits for integrity, basically. I'd rather not compromise integrity for the integrity of our reporting of the site and the coverage that we give these games and what we're telling our fellow gamers. We're gamers. It's ourselves. We're by gamers for gamers. That's the kind of philosophy we have as a fan site. So, and also fans not fanboys, critics not haters. Lots of catchphrases that I could throw around here, but basically, yeah. Anyway, the point is that nothing has been confirmed yet. Seems likely. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if the official announcement reveals that at least some of this stuff is true. Take it with a grain of salt, as you do with any of these rumors. But if they're being confirmed as legitimate and 2K is simply not saying any more, it does sound like official confirmation is just a matter of time.
True. True. Well, yeah.
But
E3 and things like
yeah,
that
oh, absolutely.
aren't far away. Obviously, the draft isn't far away, and that's
The
what.
finals, later in the playoffs,
Yep, exactly.
either Harden or Curry getting the MVP since they seem to be the leading candidates, and they're two of the leaked covers. So it just seems a matter of time. Just before we move on, if Spike Lee is indeed involved with my career, certainly a successful career as a filmmaker, a huge basketball fan, strong roots, as a long-time basketball fan. How do you feel about that, and what he might bring to the mode as a filmmaker?
Well, hopefully more diverse storylines and character development in that. You and I weren't too much of a fan of the 2K15's Mike Correa's personality in that.
My douchebag.
So hopefully less spoiled child syndrome, insecure sort of thing. Hopefully something.
Whiny, yeah.
Yep. So hopefully a bit more depth in the character and the personality traits. you know, obviously it probably won't go as deep into some of the things of he got game and that, like how some colleges and that might try and recruit and all that.
There's a certain scene that with Ray Allen that probably isn't won't make it into a G-rated game,
Yes,
so.
yeah. As much as people might petition for it, but no.
If you want that, you might have to go to a different
That'd be some,
Take Two. That'd be GTA that's going to be doing
yeah,
that.
that'd be some very expensive DLC.
Yeah. You must be 18.
Yes. Must come with birth certificate
Yeah,
proof and all
registration and that sort of thing. Yeah,
that. Yeah.
no, I think that's a good point. I mean, he's certainly got the pedigree. I just hope that they do avoid some of the pitfalls that have befallen the previous games, the being too locked into the linear storyline,
Yeah.
the characterization, all that stuff. I mean, I think the production values are going to be fantastic, but it's just whether it translates to a great gaming experience.
That's true.
That's my concern.
That's true. I mean, he could also, like, because he's actually filmed and or directed in that some of the ads in that for Nike and Jordan brand,
Of course,
whether
yeah.
he also contributes in you know, creating the ads or, you know, the players' first signature shoes or, you know, the signature line and stuff like that. So yeah, you know, there's
Some
that.
really cool extras like
Yeah.
the commercials and such in my career, which I mean that would definitely enhance the immersiveness. So yeah, I mean it remains to be seen. And he's obviously again a successful filmmaker, loves basketball. Must be a hard year for him with the Knicks.
It'd be cool if you could trash talk him.
On the virtual
Yeah,
Twitter.
well, yeah, and at a game, you know, you could do like the choke symbol, or you know,
Oh yeah.
you nail a
Yeah.
three, a dagger three to seal a game in that, and you know, you can sort of
He's there on the sideline in New York or something with the Knicks, yeah.
and not so much, I suppose, yeah, point him out, or you know, just sort of do a.
Camera cut to him where he's just like got his head in his hands or something.
Yeah, and you know, pointing you out, or even you know, implied swearing in a sense where it's just
Yeah.
mouth and you know, just the sort of trash talk element. So, yeah, you know, there could be some fun moments like that.
Little extras, yeah. Well, I mean, they had that last year with Farrell.
Yeah, true. Yeah. So, it'd be the next evolution in that. So,
But
yeah.
that remains. Oh, actually, didn't he also do the Kobe Knicks cover as well, or something with him?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that was strange. But yeah, we will see what happens with that announcement when it finally comes. We'll cover, of course, just have more on it when it's more than speculation, but. Yeah, again, something to take with a grain of salt, but does seem like it's leading up to some official announcement in the not too distant future. Before we move on to a couple of other discussion topics, just want to cover some of the new content that's been coming out from both the community and from EA and 2K themselves. NBA Live 15 and NBA 2K15 continue to receive new content for Ultimate Team and My Team. NBA Live 15's Ultimate Team has a lot of content for the playoffs. First round challenges have all been up since the playoffs tipped off. High value coin up challenges throughout the postseason and the playoff edition cards as well. 2K have been putting out some retro cards for my team, including I think Yao Ming is one of the latest ones. Is it a diamond Isaiah or a pink Isaiah Thomas card? They tweet out the codes, and unfortunately, you've got to be there within the first minute or so because they're all gone.
Yeah,
And you've got to be
they
online in
go
time.
quick. They go very quick.
That is something I'd like to see them address in future years. Sort of have more, just more to give away, and also maybe stagger them a bit so people in other countries can get them on time. So you've got time to fire up your PS4, X1, or even indeed the PC and enter the code. Because yeah, when you're never able to get one, it's a bit discouraging.
Yeah, you know, time zone friendly. Zone times and all that stuff, so yeah.
Absolutely, and certainly remove some of those shoddy rewards when people get 100 VC or something. That's when they get the random prize for the locker code, and it turns out to be something ridiculous like 100 VC
Yeah. Yeah.
or you've got 50 My Team points, which won't even buy a card. So, but that's probably an article I'll have to write sometime, or a Friday Five or something along those lines. But sure, we'll revisit that at some point. But that new content's coming along. That's always cool to see, of course, and the big moments in live. From the modding community, a quick update on my Ultimate Jordan roster. Been able to do a bit more work on that. Haven't still got to fix up a lot of player ratings and biodata, that kind of thing. Add some more missing players, but pretty much basically got it down to only three players are using generic faces at the moment.
That's good.
And because thanks to Bayeg and some of the other people who've been able to contribute a retro art, and a couple of teams are using logos and jerseys that are, I think, a year off the accurate ones. So again, not too inaccurate or anything there. But it's the version that's out, the current beta that's out there at the moment is, I feel pretty solid as far as showing what it's going to be when everything's cleaned up. So check that out and give me feedback, of course. And if you can help out with some of the retro art, definitely drop me a line in the release thread, the preview thread in the NBA Live 08 section of the forum. And as I said before, looking to convert that for use with 2005 to 07 as well once it's all done. That's a little ways off at the moment, but just trying to get a stable version for one game out first. Then I can convert it a lot easier. On the 2K13 front, I just want to give a bit of a shout out to, I'm never sure how to say his username, Skoadam, with the help of Slim44, put weeks and months basically to effort into editing the rosters for the URB mod for 2K13, which includes, I think, is over 30 season mods now. It's basically the 2K13 version of the Ultimate Base roster. Which is cool to see. I'm seeing what other notes they've got here. They've been updating the rosters, the ratings, the tendencies, addressing the sim engine. Yeah, absolutely been doing some fantastic work with keeping that game up to date for those who still like 2K13 and want to play it. And also John Z1, or John Z1 if you prefer, has put a new version of the NBA Street Volume 2 Remix mod. That is a mod for the GameCube version of NBA Street Volume 2. It actually has opening night rosters for the 2014-2015 season, and updated jerseys, updated faces, all that good stuff. So definitely check that out. They're all in the download section. You can check out the recent bulletins on the main page for the download links and whatnot. And we'll try to keep you posted with all the modding developments in upcoming episodes of the podcast. But still talking about patching and modding for a moment, we got a topic suggestion from ColumbusBobby23 in the forum this past week about modding for 2K15. And as people are probably aware from the lack of Final Edition's posts for 2K15 so far, since the game came out on PC last year, we haven't been able to mod it as heavily or to the same level that we have in games gone by. We don't have that many uploads really that yet. It's not, the modding community hasn't been able to be as active, which is why they're still doing a lot of stuff for 2K14, bringing it up to date. But ColumbusBobby23 says it's been 6 months since 2K15 dropped. Man, times goes quick. And almost no mods have been released for the game, and we all know why. Whether it was necessary or not, as far as I'm concerned, it seems to me that 2K/VC took a big old crap all over the modding community this year. Saying you used to play the game all year long for the last 5 years, and saying that 2K is going to have a hard time convincing him to return in October because of the lack of modding. I understand this point of view, and I don't blame anyone for having it, because I mean, our community has been built on modding for so many years. We have been introducing new content in recent times, such as the podcast, the articles, to appeal to everyone, because I mean, it depends with modding how much we can mod, and if you do run into a situation like 2K15 where it is harder to mod because of the way the files are set up and rosters are tied to the Steam username.
Yep.
Much the same way, because it's all goes with VC and everything, same way that it's tied to the PlayStation Network and Xbox Live, and the encryption on the roster files, all that stuff that makes modding harder than it was even last year. And it has resulted in fewer mods, of course, which is unfortunate. And again, that's why we do want to do some content that appeals to people not just on PC and will appeal to everyone, regardless of how successful modding can be now or in the future. Not that we'll ever turn our back on modding, but we do also want to expand our content and continue to do that. I mean, having said that, it certainly feels that way, but it's not something that they've done maliciously or to be nasty about it. I mean, there's always the conspiracy theories about them shutting down the modding. If 2K wanted to shut down modding, all they need to do is send us a cease and desist, because we're modifying their intellectual property. We have rules against making money off it directly. We'd have tip jars and everything. And as actually now, that's the whole big thing. I don't know if you've seen, Ben, with Steam and the Steam Workshop and Skyrim mods having to pay for them. It's
And I saw there was a petition for all that, and they just recently overturned that.
yeah. So it's certainly a controversial practice. And in fact, WWE 2K15 has now come to PC, and I was just reading in the forum, apparently the person who made the tool is now asking for a $12 donation to be able to ever use the tool. So, I mean, this is the way it is now. People are trying to make money, and it's very touchy because you're making money off someone else's intellectual property. And yeah, like I said, I don't fault anyone for feeling that way, because it is disheartening. Even more so than years past, where we may have to wait a month or so for tools, and then everything took off after a month of having the game. And of course, 2K14, or was it 2K13? Well, basically, the last 2 years, we've found that there was so much was compatible, just like the last few releases of NBA Live 2005 to 08, where it was easier to convert between the four games. Those last four games are live on PC, so we were able to make those day one mods patches much quicker. But it's just kind of one of those situations where I think we've kind of got to take the good with the good with the bad. I mean, we wanted the full port of the PlayStation 4 and Xbox One version, so
It's what we got in a sense, and it may not been the exact way, but we intended, and obviously because really focus more on making it the next gen console version. Obviously, there's file formats and stuff were slightly different in that. We can always hope that 2K16 will be a bit more modder friendly.
That was my hope in one of the Friday Five articles, yes. Sick plug.
So, we can only hope at this stage, and that kind of sounds Star Warsy in some way. But yeah, it's.
It's unfortunate, but it's not malicious. I mean, it feels like it, and I can understand it. I don't begrudge anyone. I do think some of the conspiracy theories that have come out and they're saying that they've done it on purpose specifically to stop modding, that's a little paranoid. That's a little bit crazy, because again, if they wanted to shut down modding, or they can do that from a legal standpoint very easily. And if they ever do that, we've basically got to wipe everything and say, okay, that's the end of modding. But the fact they haven't done that, it's more a case of this is just developing it. It's now we've got a system that's with the encryption's there because we've got the DLC. It's tied to a digital distribution platform. It's just an unfortunate circumstance that hopefully, it's the first time they've done this version on the PC, the new next gen. Well, it's current gen now, but you know what I mean. The Xbox One, PS4 version, the first time it has come to PC, and which has the modding culture. Let's see what they can do this year, if anything. It's, yeah. Again, don't begrudge anyone for feeling that way, but because it's not malicious, I don't entirely disagree. But at the same time, it's just one of those things that, and I don't know if some of these people have been around when we've gone through this stuff with Live before, where the new games came out and the file formats had changed, and we need to make all new tools again, and some things we can't do anymore that we used to be able to do because the art system changed and all that stuff. I mean, you patched 2003, 2004. The custom art system allowed for things that the SGSM system didn't, as far as assigning player-specific accessories and such, that they could easily be removed, and player-specific jerseys, things like that were really great.
There's a lot of systems from the 03 and 04 era that I still miss, and that's why I probably consider one of the more fun patching errors in that sense. And then
A lot of mods came out, which unfortunately we got missing. We've tried to restore the database as much as we can, but a lot of them are on free hosts, and archive.org only does so much to preserve some of them. The other thing I was going to say to wrap up on that point on, if you've got anything else, I'll throw it over to you in a sec. But we've actually been pretty lucky with modding over, for since basically since this community began almost 20 years ago, in that, well, certainly back in the early days, there weren't as many official patches that came out. I think NBA Live 98 PC was the first one to actually get an official patch from EA. But you look at some of the modding of the like the GTA 3 era Grand Theft Auto games on PC, which of course would be GTA 3, San Andreas, and Vice City. I think they've pretty much got it, and it goes for other games too, but I think that's one that was mentioned to me in particular, an example. Is that whenever the patch comes through, they've basically got to redo all the mods and find ways of doing it again. Like the mods stop working
Oh, true.
with patch games, which has never been an issue with us until this year with 2K15 and the files. So we've had it pretty good. Basically, we've reached a situation where, oh, we have to deal with what other modding communities have had to deal with,
Yeah.
which is unfortunate, but it's like, well, we've had a pretty good run, and hopefully it'll be better in the future. But yeah, I can't, I'm disappointed. I can't be angry, is basically what I'd say. I understand why people are upset because it's disappointing for me. It's disappointing for me running a site that's relied heavily on that kind of content from the community. It's been a big part of what we do and what we cater to in the community. But I can't be too angry because it's not something that's been done maliciously.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, for me, I was starting to get into the patching community, and that the interest in that for me was in a lot of other games like Command and Conquer, even in Delta Force Black Ops Down in that, and that's when I first
Sure.
started getting my hands on sort of modding games and that, and doing little customized weaponry, colors, and cars, and things like that. So that's when I first started. So then the transition into the basketball video game thing, there was, it was a lot easier process compared to a lot of those other games and that.
Yeah.
So yeah, we have been very fortunate. It's a shame that, I mean, we don't have an EA game at the moment that's PC and that. So we kind of miss a lot of that heritage aspect of our site in that sense. But we still.
And live is always easier to mod than 2K has been as
Yeah,
well, so.
yeah.
Especially the
Yeah.
rosters.
And.
Database, DBFs, fantastic.
So yeah, I mean, I don't want to. I really hope it's something that doesn't come to an end. I think. There's a lot of benefits to patching in terms of keeping the game interesting and fresh.
Oh, well, Ultimate Base Roster for 2K12 actually got them some late in the game sales.
Yeah.
And there were console gamers who were double dipping, like lifelong console gamers, who said, "Well, I got to check out the PC version because look what the modders over at NLSC are doing." And we got some credit, and Hawk23 right and his crew rightfully got the a lot of credit for that.
Yeah.
And yeah, it certainly I would have to imagine spiked some interest long after the game had come out, or certainly a few months after the game had come out. So yeah, definitely. Definitely has those benefits.
And say with some art update stuff, even like play updates, if it gets late in the cycle of the game and that, and the shift of the focus of the developers is more focused on the next game coming out and that, the community can pick up the slack with all these art new details, from what I've seen over in OS. At the moment, there's a lot of, well, being this sort of sneakerhead, and there's a lot of people crying out for like a shoe update and all that stuff, for the
Yes.
playoff shoes and all that stuff, and for just generally shoes that a lot of players were wearing in the second half of the season and that, and with the PC community, with the shoe patches and the jersey patches and all that kind of stuff, and and even like the playoff court stuff going on and all that stuff. And we're now seeing like some of the new team logos being identified and
Yes.
that. So we can get that early implementation of that stuff in sooner than the console versions and that, because obviously there'll be more license to be able to do it until the next season, even though it's been changed.
Exactly. And then you can sort of have that experience, that new experience, until the next game comes out, and it tides you over, and it gets you hyped for the new game because I'm still playing a basketball game, and oh, here's a new one. Or, I'm all fresh and ready to go. So, absolutely.
So there's those benefits to it, and then obviously again the mods that we do in terms of the roster stuff, how we used to do the street updates or the Jordan sort of ones and all that stuff, and
Retro seasons, all that kind of different fun
the
stuff, yeah.
big FIBA comp
FIBA, yeah.
NCAA ones and all that stuff.
NBL, let's throw it out there.
Oh
We haven't mentioned NBL for a few weeks, so.
we had those ones, and again, it keeps people's interest in the game for a few months longer and that, and
Yeah, for long.
so it wasn't that dry spell on that, and so it is something that I hope we will be able to continue in doing in that. It could be just this year, just because they were starting to shift it over to the next gen port console versions and all that stuff for the PC, that maybe there's some restrictions in the way it's been done, and that hopefully for next season
Yeah.
we'll be able to get a lot of those tools, and hopefully there'll be a little bit more stuff that can be edited and developed for in terms of that, so hopefully this is just a one-off season in that
Yeah,
sense.
custom art folders, more easily to edit rosters, things like that that we can that really cater to the patching community as much as they possibly can. And as you said, all we can do for now is hope. But thank you to Columbus Bobby, I should say, 23, for throwing out that suggestion. You may not necessarily agree with our take on it. Certainly from your post, I can tell that you're rightfully disappointed with the situation, as I think all of us are. But certainly do appreciate that a suggestion for the podcast. And if you or anyone else has anything you want us to talk about specifically about basketball video games, real basketball too, but we would like to focus a little bit on the basketball video games, because real basketball tends us to hand us topics by default. Things are going on in the real world all the time, so we can talk about that. But I mean, we'll take any suggestions. We want to put out a show that you want to listen to, so hit us up with those suggestions in the forum, the comments section on the news posts and whatnot. And yeah, thanks again. Speaking of the real basketball, before we do move on to what's going on in the real NBA, just want to talk have that bit of a retro game corner. We've talked about old basketball games for the past few episodes of the podcast, almost to the point where I wish I had a soundboard so that we could have a something I could rig up for the retro basketball segment. Yes, I could add it in post-production, but I'm a lazy man. But I actually revisited a childhood memory. Not my childhood memory, but one of yours, Ben, because I've been picking up a few old games to do some content for the site in the sort of a bit of a throwback Thursday or Friday flashback kind of features. Every Monday, I'm not sure what days I'll do it. I'm doing the Friday Five, so it probably won't be Friday flashback. But we do want to do a bit of retro content. It's always nostalgia is always popular to revisit. But I've been picking up a few games. Fairly cheaply off eBay recently, and one that I picked up for five whole dollary dues was a Total NBA 96 for the PlayStation, which I was able to play on my PS2, being backwards compatible, back when backwards compatible was a thing. Not so much these days with the consoles. Not whole nother
Well,
topic there.
not directly. PlayStation
Not
now
directly that.
has some ability, but yeah, it's more a streaming service than
Yeah.
a disk space service.
Which is still not exactly what I'd prefer with the old discs or anything,
That's
but
true.
in any case, I did pick up Total NBA 96 was the contemporary of NBA Live 96, which is one of my favorite games of all time. Certainly been surpassed, of course, but it's still one of my all-time favorites. And gave you a few impressions when we were talking about it on chatting about it earlier, not last week, the week before, I think. Since last week, I would have been grumbling over having no internet. But yeah, I mean, I've noticed a lot of the things that you talked about with the graphically, it was certainly ahead of NBA Live 96, which wasn't an ugly game for the time, but Total NBA 96 really reminded me of Live 97 for PC, or even Live 98. It wasn't quite Cyberface, I don't think, but certainly as far as the quality of the graphics and the player models, much closer to Live 97. So they're kind of a year ahead of EA on that one. And so the commentary, some of the presentation was really, it was. I was quite impressed actually, and it reminded me that when there were more games on the market, that every game kind of had something that it did really well that another game didn't. And there was, I think, Full Court Press by Microsoft did some things that Live 97 didn't. But in a lot of ways, certainly wasn't as good as Live 97's gameplay. But, and certainly not as good with its roster management either. But it was definitely interesting to see, and it's not a terrible game for its era. For a start, it had a lot of offensive fouls. Pretty much every time you go up to dunk, there was a charging foul. Don't know if you remember that, but so that was kind of weird.
Not from memory. Like, I don't remember having to. But mind you, yeah, I'm trying to think back to like.
It's been a while,
Yeah.
right? But it's. I think gameplay wise, Live 96 was had the better overall package across both its Super Nintendo and PC versions. The roster management was definitely better, but yeah, it did do quite a few things that I would say would be superior to Live 96 in this presentation, with the commentary and making it a bit more TV like, just really replicating the TV presentation of the time, and the player models and such were, again, what EA brought in a year later with Live 97, at least on PC. The Super Nintendo version was pretty much the same game as Live 95 and 96 with updated rosters. But yeah, it's definitely interesting for me. I mean, with the 20th anniversary content that's coming up, revisiting games that I've played and spent so many hours with over the years before, but to revisit some of these games that I haven't really played or not played at all, like Total NBA 96, and also picked up NBA Action 98 for the PC, which is a forerunner to NBA 2K, of course, by Sega Sports. It's been interesting to experience these games. It's kind of like, well, it's like any game that you never played as a kid, but then you finally play it because everyone talked about it for whatever reason. You never got into it. Tomb Raider is another one for me, actually. I didn't play Tomb Raider growing up, even though I was in the age group to be aware of it and everything, and got it for, I think there was a on Green Man Gaming, it was $20 for the whole series, including the latest one.
Oh, nice.
And it was one of those situations where I played, like, yeah, I really should have gotten this a long time ago. These are really good games. But it was interesting. It was definitely interesting to check it out. I'll need to do some more content on that, actually, and maybe some visual sort of visual video content on that. Certainly some write-ups when I do those retro articles whenever I pick a day to do it. Yeah, it's I can definitely see the stuff you were talking about though with the visuals presentation. It was impressive in its own way.
Yeah, I'm glad that I've got someone else to sort of back me up on that. I wasn't too sure if it was just from
Nostalgia.
and just the sort of distance in time from when I have played it and all that, whether it was did really stand out for its time and that. So yeah, no, I'm glad that you saw those things that I remembered in terms of what intrigued me about it, and from what I remember after like 19 years or something like that.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's a
But for the price of a schooner, it was definitely worth checking out.
yeah.
And of course, I played games from that era anyway, so I might have a better appreciation for it than someone who's only been playing basketball games in the last 10 years might look like, oh, what a piece of
Yeah,
crap. But
and they'll honestly go, oh, those PS1 graphics.
so, well, yeah, they are. What is this Super Mario Brothers? Was this 8-bit graphics? Yep, that's kind of how it was, but. But it, as I've said quite a few times in the past a few episodes where we've been talking about these retro games, and hopefully people, young and old, newer and older basketball gamers, do appreciate hearing about them. Always interesting to go back. Nostalgia is very powerful and fun to revisit, as I said. But it has been fun to go back and look at these old games and kind of give an appreciation of some of the newer ones as well. But again, also the older ones as well, because you play some of them with more realistic strategies, and wow, the games kind of work. They kind of play along to an extent. But that's pretty much all I have to say for now. As I said, might do another article or talk about it in another show, but those are basically my impressions. Yeah, definitely worth checking out for $5. So I can make that in the budget. So, but speaking of realistic basketball, there's probably nothing more realistic than the actual real game itself. So the 2015 NBA playoffs roll on. The first round, I should say, is coming swiftly to a close. The second round looms. We have a couple of, at least one matchup set, I think, at the moment. So I haven't been able to watch as many games as I'd like because, again, no internet for the past week or so. I didn't really want to spend hundreds of dollars on extra credit on my phone
to be able to cater for it, yeah.
to watch to multiple gigs of data to be able to watch games when ADSL, they have a big plan anyway. But nevertheless, I will at least try to be catching the Bulls game tomorrow, where they might finally finish off the Bucks instead of choking away a 3-0 lead, which visions of that still dance hauntingly in my head, I can tell you. But that would be bad. But they currently lead the Bucks 3-2. And the Hawks, I'm surprised, are currently also leading the Nets 3-2. I thought that would be a sweep.
Yeah, and it turns out that the Raptors one was,
That was a sweep.
yeah.
You know what? I saw that series and see the result of that series, and I thought, I'm really glad that the Bulls made the third seed so they could face the Bucks because the Wizards are looking pretty good. So they're in the second round for the second year in a row. It wasn't. I thought that one would go seven. I either underestimated the Wizards or overestimated the Raptors on that one because that was.
Well, yeah, I mean, looking up to the build-up of that, you know, the Wizards weren't doing so well leading up to like the last two.
They kind of struggled the last couple of weeks of the last few weeks of the season after the break, All-Star break.
Yeah, so it was like they're just conserving themselves, playing possum for the rest of the league in terms of like, yeah, just so that was, I think they surprised a few people, obviously, and definitely surprised the Raptors, that's for sure.
Will be interesting with I'm assuming the Hawks will take care of business and beat the Nets in six and face the Wizards in that second round. That could prove to be quite a tough matchup because the Nets are currently giving the Hawks something to think about. Despite Paul Pierce's assertion that that the Nets are terrible without him and a bunch of losers, basically he said as much. In fact, if the Nets do somehow knock off the Hawks, that would be an interesting matchup. The Nets versus the Wizards with Paul Pierce's comments.
You know, you know, who would st whose flames would it fuel more? You know, Paul Pierce to prove that he was right, or
The Nets that he was wrong,
yeah,
yeah.
so it could be in a very interesting battle, that's for sure.
And the Bulls still trying to finish off the Bucks, of course. The Bucks playing pretty well. Derrick Rose had three great games, a couple of very good games, and quite a decent one in the first three games of the season, but he struggled a bit in the last two. Bucks have also played well, made some adjustments. They seem to have a bright future, and certainly that's without Jabari Parker, who unfortunately went down to injury.
Yeah, so it's and aside from the couple of sweeps and stuff, you know, in East and West and that, it's there's a couple of interesting elements of it, of this first round. Maybe not as big or crazy as, what was it, two seasons ago?
Yeah, really, really good first
So
round.
yeah, it doesn't, yeah, but it's still an interesting one at the moment, so yeah.
And Boston put up a decent fight, but ultimately got swept by the Cavs. Not a huge surprise either. LeBron hit a shot from full court in practice rather effortlessly. That was made the rounds on social media. As I said, not too many surprises there. Although a bit of a controversial play with Kelly Olynyk getting Kevin Love in an armbar, and as injured his shoulder, and he's going to be actually looks like he's going to be out for the rest of the playoffs.
It's actually looking like to be a 4 to 6 month recovery.
Yeah, he underwent surgery. Yeah, so that could be a break for the Bucks or the Bulls. Or hopefully, the Bulls. Whoever comes out of that series will be facing a Cavs. They've still got LeBron and Kyrie Irving, so it's not like they're suddenly easy
That's
pickings.
True.
But that eliminating Love is a unfortunate in many respects. I mean, is even if it makes it more competitive for hopefully the Bulls, it's a shame to see that. And it's a shame to see. It was kind of dirty. And in fact, Olynyk has been suspended for the first game he'll be able to play in next season because of his because of the league decided that was a bit
bit too rough.
And Love said it as well. And you know, I thought there'd be a bigger reaction that he, especially this being his first time in the playoffs, would be a bigger reaction about him saying that and saying, "Oh, he's soft," and you know, best playoff possible. But it did go a little bit beyond. I thought, you know, the arm wrench and everything. I know players get tangled, but it was kind of dirty, I thought. And there's one thing playing physical, there's another when you're actually trying to hurt an opponent. That's that goes beyond hard-nosed competition and into unsportsmanlike stuff. But, well, the Cleveland-Boston rivalry stays strong, I guess. the LeBron-Boston rivalry, if nothing
that's
else.
True. And,
J.R. Smith got suspended because that's kind of what he does. lost his cool again, and Kendrick Perkins, bit of a shove as well. So, yeah. There was certainly some quote unquote playoff basketball there with the cooler heads not prevailing and the physicality boiling over a little bit, tensions running high. Golden State swept the Pelicans. I thought the Pelicans did a pretty good job, though. You know, for their first playoff appearance in however long, and the first one for Anthony Davis.
Yeah, I mean, they're a young team, and you know they should be proud that they got where they were this season. And obviously, next season is going to be a big one for them to
take the next
step.
Yeah,
it's a baby step situation for them. So.
Not without controversy, because there was the reffing. Was it game three that went to overtime?
I can't know.
Lee came out and said that it should have been a 4-point play on Steph Curry's three that made that sent it into overtime in the first place. Great rally that ended in what should have actually been possibly a game-winning play with what should have been a 4-point play. How do you feel about when the league comes out and admits their mistakes like that? I think you know, from your hesitation, that you probably have a similar opinion to me, is that I like that they're being open and transparent.
Yeah.
But when they come out and say it, it's like, well, it's you feel like, well, you basically said that the wrong person won, or well, actually the right, they could go on to win the game, but you're basically saying, well, they're. I like that they admit the mistake. It's hard to put into words. I like that they admit the mistake, but at the same time, I don't, because it sort of quite often admits that a call cost the game or really influenced the game.
Yeah.
That the game could have come down to a blown call.
Yeah.
Instead
could
of
have changed.
Being decided on the court,
could have changed the outcome
and has in the past changed the outcome.
Yeah.
It's you like them. You like them admitting the mistake, but that's the other thing. There's nothing they can do about it. It's in the books afterwards.
Yeah.
And had the Warriors lost that game, the NBA could have put up their hand and said, "Well, my bad. No, how bad? We lost. You know, we the refs made a mistake. That should have been your win." But you don't go back and replay it. So sometimes you almost wish they didn't announce it, that they just internally reviewed it or whatever. But yeah, I both like and feel uncomfortable with transparency, I guess.
Yeah, I can understand it. I'll use the instance of from memory, it was yesterday with the Spurs Clippers with the offensive interference.
Mm-hmm.
You know, say that DeAndre didn't touch it, and you know they end up still going with the call that they made, and that saying, you know, that he did. and that could have potentially cost, you know, the Clippers. Well, it cost them the season in that sense, hasn't it? Did they? No, was there still one more game to win for the Spurs?
The Spurs lead the Clippers
Okay.
3-2, so and the next game is in San
Yep.
Antonio, so
Okay.
definitely could
All right. Well,
have potentially,
it could.
yeah.
At the moment, we'll say in this hypothetical that it's changed the outcome of the game, not so much of the series yet.
But certainly could have tipped the
Yeah.
balance in a pivotal game,
Yeah.
yeah.
So, you know, that could have been a game that the Clippers actually won in the end. But obviously, that, you know, especially in those last 5 seconds of a game, you know, the crucial calls like that, where it comes down to the actual wire, then yeah, that's when it's like I probably have that gray area of, you know, if the call is where they announce like a couple of days, a day or two later, that upon reviewing that's like, yeah, we made the wrong call. That's probably when I'd get uneasy about it.
It doesn't change anything, so
Yeah.
it's the loss still rankles with the team and its fans.
Yeah.
So you're saying, well, okay, you made a mistake, but like I said, we're not going to replay the game,
Yeah.
so
You know.
try harder next time. What do you want us to say
Exactly, yeah. So.
in response to that? You know, thanks for admitting your mistake. But then at the same time, I come back to it again. I like the
Yeah.
honesty, you know, because back in the day, it would just be swept under the
Yep.
rug.
I mean, if
So.
the
And this is not a recent thing. They've been doing this for quite some time. So it's not all on Adam Silver changing things, although I think he's made some good changes. Actually, so you brought up the court logos before, the playoff logos on the courts, rather. Apparently, those were those decals were causing players to slip, lose their footing, which is why they're not appearing on the court this season, these playoffs, as in the past. Been a bit of controversy. People say it doesn't feel like the playoffs without them.
Yeah, I can understand that. You know,
I can understand it, but you know, it's the they are the playoffs, and this team's being eliminated. So, I mean, if you're not getting the urgency with playoff basketball, will a decal really change that? But I mean, there's no reason for the league to lie about that. So, I mean, that they've because people have said, "Oh, I've never seen players slip," and I'm sure we could go back through the archives and find players slipping on the decals. But the point is. It's been something that's been reviewed. There's no other reason for the league to take those off.
Yeah.
So I take that at face value.
It's not like they're doing it for a financial gain or anything like that, you know?
It's not that they've replaced it with an ad or
Yeah,
something. So.
exactly. So, I mean, I think in terms of, especially with player injuries the last couple of seasons, maybe they saw it as a health and safety, they really saw it as just a health and safety issue.
Oh, it's yes.
Yeah, you know, the insurance and all the stuff like that they'd have to pay and like in the teams pay in that just to ensure their players, and that would be a ridiculous amount. So, I mean, again, it's not so much a financial gain, but more just,
Protecting investment,
So,
protecting the welfare of and health of
yeah,
players, yeah.
and not eat into a team or owner's potential earned income in.
Yeah.
So, you know, with all the extra excess fees and things like that they'd have to pay for playing.
Exactly. If it's an issue, they've addressed it finally, and I mean, it's nice. It was always that thing you see it on the court,
Yeah,
but
I
if it's been removed for good reason, then that's a good reason to remove it.
mean,
That's pretty much all what it comes down to at the end of the day. But
yeah. I mean, they probably couldn't do like the projection thing on the court, although
they'll probably figure something out. They'll make a removable piece of the court that's got it painted on. That's not a
yeah,
decal. That's safer, you know. Maybe didn't have time for it this year. Maybe this is an issue that's come up late in the game. And
although I'm thinking in terms of like from what we've seen, I think in forms of rugby league or union or soccer, or,
oh, projecting it on there,
yeah,
yeah,
you know,
with
on
the
the
TV.
TV,
Yeah, they could do
yeah.
that, but I don't know. To be honest, it hasn't bothered me that much, and it's just a thing, and there's a reasonable explanation for it. So, yeah.
For me, the NBA logo on the back of the collar throws me off more on the actual uniform. Just, I don't know, just,
This doesn't seem right.
it
This
just, makes the uniform feel fake in that sense. So, you know,
Yeah,
just.
I guess we've all got these little details that about the presentation about uniforms and logos and whatnot, and we do have some teams with new logos, incidentally. Actually, the Wizards have already debuted their logo in the middle of the season. Didn't even wait till the off season to make that an official change.
So, it'd be interesting to see how much extra, if you know, if there's all these rules and costs in implementing new logos and that into the NBA, how much extra that would have cost them to be able to do that, or you know, how much time in advance they'd have to approach the NBA about doing that kind of thing.
Well, the NBA didn't particularly like it when Jordan changed his number to 23 in the middle of the 95 playoffs. So, NBA does get a bit finicky about these things. But yeah, getting back to the playoff bracket, the Grizzlies eliminated the Blazers. The Blazers kind of, again, much like the other 4-5 series, I thought this one was going to go seven. And I know the Blazers have had some injury problems, but I thought they would still be more competitive. But Mike Conley has had some issues as well, but has some injury issues. But yeah, Memphis 4-1. They got and won at least a couple of those games very convincingly.
That's for sure. That was a surprise to me. Because the Blazers are probably one of my favorite West teams, and you know, obviously being a huge fan of Marcus Aldridge. And even Wesley Matthews, a huge fan and of him. So to see them go down like that, that was a huge surprise. I was definitely at least expecting that one to go to 6 or 7 games.
And be a bit closer in some of those games as
Yeah,
well.
not blowouts, which wasn't good.
And the final, well, actually, that has set up our first official second round series, the Warriors versus the Grizzlies. And I'm taking the Warriors in six games in that one. I think the Grizzlies are going to be able to grind out a couple of victories and actually be the first team in these playoffs to take a win from the Warriors. But yeah, I can't pick against the Warriors at least until probably, let's see, probably the I want to say the Clippers or Spurs. I think the Rockets are going to fall in the second round to either the Clippers or the Spurs. The only team I do see beating the Warriors is Clippers or Spurs. So I'll say six. I'll say in six games, 4-2 over the Grizzlies.
I'll probably go that. I'll say it goes to seven. I think that one could,
Seven? Yeah.
I think that one could potentially go the full stretch, which would be good.
And the last matchup in the West, the second-seeded Rockets versus seventh-seeded Mavericks. Quite a few people picked the Mavericks to get the upset here, but it wasn't the case. The Rockets won 4-1, and a couple of big victories there by double digits. And there's now questions what happens in the offseason. Dirk Nowitzki said that he'd come off the bench, and I know they're going after Aldridge, is the latest I've read.
I think a few teams are going to go after Aldridge this off season.
And, well, I suppose Nowitzki's probably perhaps not got the lateral quickness these days to play the small forward position anymore, but I don't know. I think you could certainly have a nice lineup with Aldridge and Nowitzki together.
That's
So
for sure.
it all depends what we see there. Rondo is probably not going to join them, especially since they didn't give him his playoff bonus. He was excluded from that. He's actually basically agreed to just say it was mutual, as much as these things can be mutual agreement for him to stay away from the team, put down to a back injury. But it's basically Rick Carlisle made some comments that made it pretty clear that Rondo had worn out his welcome and they didn't want him around. So now that's interesting there. They made that trade and got him, and it kind of didn't pan out. And Rondo was a bit of a hothead, and Ayton certainly didn't do himself any favors with Carlisle.
It's going to play interesting in terms of with Rondo's hot-headedness and that will play all teams want to sign him, you know.
Well, the rumors are the Lakers. Can you imagine him and Kobe together? I mean, on on one hand, you got him averaging 15 assists as he passes it to Kobe, and Kobe shoots his way further up the scoring list in his last season. And they're both competitive and smart people, and smart individuals probably get along in that respect and get along as players, if not individually as personally as people. But I just think, you know, seeing the way Rondo has clashed with people, and Kobe notoriously not in the most friendliest guy on the roster.
Yeah.
That could also be a spectacular blow up. And then
I think it will be, if the Lakers were to sign him, it would purely just as stem the bleeding of the amount of losses they have for this season, so they don't become a draft team, like, or a draft pick team, and that, or lottery pick team. That's probably more the same I'm looking for. And
here's the other thing with Rondo. There was a discussion in the forum, and it was brought up that basically, but you look at the advanced stats, and he's actually had a negative impact on his teams in recent years. He hasn't really made a positive impact since the championship years, when the Celtics were sort of championship contenders. Yeah. And with some of the temper and everything, and that, and taking that into account, I don't think Rondo is actually a legitimate franchise player.
No.
And yet he'll be getting a lot of money from the Lakers if he goes there. And Kobe, this next season's his last, and so then it becomes Rondo's team. I don't think they're really going to go any further than mediocrity for the next few years.
Well, I mean,
it depends who they draft, I suppose. But
I think they'll get Rondo for a Band-Aid solution, just for stem the amount of losses and that.
He's a name. He's a big name.
I think they'll go more for Kevin Love, and that way they can draw Westbrook the following.
Well, that's the other thing, and what's happening now with Love's injury? How does that impact free agency?
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be an interesting offseason in that respect. But the other thing we should talk about with the Rockets series is, speaking of controversy, the Rockets' now former social media manager, Chad Shanks, just getting his name from Yahoo NBA there. They fired him after he posted a tweet with the emoji of a gun pointed at a horse's head, basically saying, what was it?
It'll be all over.
Over soon, yeah, basically sort of like a euthanasia, putting an animal to sleep kind of tweet.
But it also had sort of the connotation of rape. Like, I've heard some people, or read some comments saying, you know, sort of, it could have implied that into a degree with the context of the words, which it'll be over soon sort of thing.
I guess. I mean, the fact that the gun was there suggested more gun violence than anything else. But the point is, it certainly was not in the best taste and controversial. And the Mavericks Twitter account basically pointed out and said, yeah, well, you know, that's pretty classless. Yep. But, you know, good luck in the next round. But, what's up with that, guys? The tweet was deleted and the apology issued, and of course the action has been taken. Whenever something like this happens, there's always that, it's this sensitive society, you can't say anything now, freedom of speech, everyone's too sensitive, taking offense or anything. I do get those arguments because, but we're all online. I think we've all seen that kind of situation where people take something out of context, and there are some people online who do want to be just offended just so they can rant or, you know, push an agenda that may be a really good cause, but they take it in a bad direction by being oversensitive. But I mean, that it was a poor choice for a joke.
Yep.
It was in poor taste. It was at the very best you could say about it, it was unsportsmanlike, which is still kind of crappy to be doing coming from the official account. And that is the other thing, that you are representing this organization, this multi-billion-dollar organization. You need to have a bit more class than that, and it can swing both ways to the point where you allow freedom of speech, to the point where you do allow people to be openly offensive and rude and inappropriate and such. And I don't know if I would necessarily call for his job or anything. That's what they decided, but certainly a reassignment or reprimand or suspension or something at the very least, I think, would have been appropriate, because it was in poor taste.
Yeah,
I think
like public apology from that person and stuff, I guess, as well. Probably didn't need to go to the extent of the firing, like you said, and that. But
It's kind of the way it goes these days, so teams just don't want the controversy to hang over them. So yeah, and I don't think there's anything wrong with when there's been a situation like this where a line has been crossed, bad taste has been broached, putting up your hand and saying, okay, yeah, our bad, that was a step too far, sorry about that. It's not weak or caving to political correctness or anything when it's like that. Political correctness can be taken too far, and there are many examples that we could throw out there of that, but in this case, no, I don't think so.
I agree.
But in any event, the Mavericks are out of the playoffs. They will be facing the winner of the Clippers Spurs series. Still feel the Spurs are going to win that one, myself.
I don't think. I don't think the Rockets are there yet.
I give it to them simply because of their experience and the fact that every time you want to count the Spurs out, back they come.
Proven us wrong so many times, so
Yeah.
instead of being on the wrong side of it, let's So
Let's get on with that one. Yeah, let's get on the winning ones. We mentioned the Pelicans. They just edged out the Thunder to get into the playoffs, and it looks like the Thunder missing the playoffs, even though they did a fairly good job with Westbrook playing out of his mind and Durant played less than 30 games this year. But Benji posted in the forum, and it's basically a good summation of the situation, that they were obviously looking to move on from Scott Brooks for probably the last couple of years, maybe even since the loss to the Heat in the finals in 2012. But the Thunder have been too successful to really fire him. But now that even though they had the winning record this year, and I believe the Pelicans got in off the tiebreaker on that one, they did miss the playoffs, and that's kind of the catalyst. Gives you an excuse to fire a
Yeah,
coach when you fall
it
short of
was their
that.
window of opportunity.
Then again, George Karl was fired a couple of years ago despite winning coach of the year. So, I mean, some teams don't even look for excuses
No.
there. But in any case, it does seem like the writing was on the wall. A lot of people talking about he was pretty much gone as far as they could under Scott Brooks. I've seen him referred to as a mediocre coach. I thought he was okay, which mediocre, people use mediocre in a negative sense, but it's mediocre is kind of average, ordinary. So mediocre is not
More of
bad per
a Mike
se.
Brown, maybe.
Yeah.
That sort of.
Give him a good team, and he got them to the finals, and if not for a couple of calls, might have at least won a couple more games in those finals. Anyway, he is out. Not a huge shock. There were rumblings about it happening. One of his Kevin Ollie, former NBA player, who's I oh is who's he coaching in the NCAA these days?
Damn it. I can't remember off the top of my head. I saw it the other day.
Let's see. Hello, Wikipedia. Since you're right here in front of me, University of Connecticut,
Yes, it was a
head
big
coach of
name
the
one, so
Huskies.
yeah.
And won the national championship as head coach in 2014, of course. He's apparently not interested in leaving the college ranks. Someone who is interested in leaving the college ranks, familiar name to NBA and NCAA fans alike, Billy Donovan, Florida.
Yeah, and he's apparently
Will he leave this time? Or
well, apparently he's from a report I saw a few minutes ago that he's actually wanting to meet and talk to Westbrook, Durant, and Ibaka before committing to the job in that. So
does sound very interested in doing so,
yeah, I mean
yes.
he could be sussing out their plans, whether they be looking to stay long term with him, and then a good way for them to both, or for all of them to get a feel for each other in terms of see if they're on the same page and all that stuff, and assess the if there's a chemistry in terms of being able to work together in that sense. So I think that's fair in having that sort of request and sort of just sort of wanting to see if the situation will work out, especially with a lot of speculation that, come free agency time, when it is for these players, that they could end up stepping away from the team and that. So you want to be sure if they're going to be there for the long term or not.
Absolutely. And of course, we've seen plenty of great NBA players, sorry, great NBA coaches come out of college. A lot of coaches start there. I'm just looking at Wikipedia. I actually didn't know that he was drafted in the '87 draft, Billy Donovan, and played a season with the Knicks.
I didn't know that either.
Did not, but basically began his coaching career shortly after concluding he didn't have a, he concluded he didn't have a long-term future as a pro player and got back into. Actually, oh, look at this. Accepted a job offer from Wall Street Investment Banking before he got into coaching. So,
Wow.
certainly had a bit of a storied career there. But I mean, I have to admit, you know, he had some success, had some very respectable success with the Gators in Florida. But that sounds like fighting. It sounds like he's had success fighting the alligators in Florida. He's had success with the, he's had success with the Florida Gators, I should say. And I tell you, he can sure fight him off the front porch, those games. I did think
Crocodile Dundee
back
ain't,
in
oh,
the
he ain't got nothing on Crocodile Dundee, or Crocodile Dundee ain't got nothing on him.
he's not Crocodile Dundee,
Yeah.
he's Gator
Yeah.
Donovan, so. Not a successful movie that one, but I always felt it was kind of a bush league move, the way he pulled out of the coaching job with the Magic after accepting the offer. I mean, I guess if he never really wanted the job, was that apprehensive about taking it? Why sign the contract? I mean, it's harsh to say because I think we've all had situations where we've had to go back on our word or whatever. But I just always felt that was a bit bush league, and you know, I saw some people at the time hailing it. You know, he turned down the big bad NBA to stay in the NCAA, and well, I think the NCAA's got as much problems with corruption and everything as the NBA, if not more so. Certainly, situations with making money off amateur players who can't not allowed to profit at all. You know, there's lots of controversy there, but I know it's probably sounds like I'm trying to run a smear campaign against Donovan, but I don't know. They kind of left a bad taste in my mouth all those years ago. And I'm not a Magic fan by any stretch of the imagination. No strong feelings about that team one way or the other, but I don't know. I just sort of, yeah, always kind of struck me as a bit bush league. Don't know about you.
I mean, yeah, well, it's possible he made a mistake, or he got a, there's maybe a regret to leave a good situation that he was in, sort of felt bad about it, and so yeah, he probably had like second guessed himself in it. I mean, there's that instance with, again, I'll use an Australian sports situation at the moment with Daly Cherry Evans. He signed a contract with the Gold Coast Titans, and there's rumour that he's sort of looking at backing out of that and staying with the team,
I did
because,
actually heard about that on the radio driving out to a job the other day,
yeah,
yeah.
so it could be an apprehension like that sort of situation. It was like a, where you felt like you've made a decision, but upon more thought,
That's true. Yeah, I mean, we all do second guess. He's and they were quite. I was just reading, I had forgotten, but they part of the agreement to let him out of the contract was that he couldn't coach in the NBA for at least 5 years. So which is obviously past. That was 2007, and it's a few years past that now. So it's no issues returning. But
I mean, it could come down that
I
he
think.
felt maybe he wasn't ready.
Oh yeah, and it's I suppose it is harsh, but I just. It's harsh to condemn him. I'm not saying he's a horrible person for doing it. It just sort of, I remember the time, especially I think because there's always been that the people who prefer college ball over professional basketball, particularly the ones that sort of sneer at the NBA and talk about the purity and the greatness of college basketball, and that was kind of like, well, that certainly wasn't a very professional thing to
Yeah,
do,
that's true.
you know, and. First of all, as I said, I think anyone who thinks that the NBA, or the NCAA, is squeaky clean and has no corruption compared to the NBA is delusional, because we've seen a lot of problems there. Simply for the fact that because of the current restrictions on coming into the NBA out of high school, i.e. that you can't, you have players, like the allegations against Derrick Rose, of players who've had their SATs done for them by the people just so they can get into college. So, I mean, there's a lot of shady stuff. We've all seen Blue Chips.
Yep.
Shaquille O'Neal's best movie, bar none. But, yeah, it's... And well, you know, that's... It's in the past. It's, you know, just one of those things that I felt I had to express, because, I, as I said, always felt it's kind of a bit Bush League, but I do understand where he's coming from, and you do make a good point there. But, you know, he has been successful with the... with grooming young players and having some success with the Florida Gators in the college ranks, a couple of national titles, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, trying to remember
when he had Al Horford, he had the team with Al Horford and Joakim Noah.
That's
and
right. Yep.
They won, and because you guys remember Noah doing the Gator clap across the stage at the 2007
That's
draft.
That's right.
and the Magic being a young team and everything. Sorry, not the Magic. That's who we would have seen. But the Thunder, you know, having some young stars, and he's being handed a couple of pretty good players in Durant and Westbrook and Ibaka, and has some young players there that perhaps he can guide, having been working with younger players, you know, very recently in college.
You know, that's true.
It's a pretty good situation for him to be in. So it would be surprising for him to back out now.
Yeah. I think in terms of, well, again, you know, it is going to come down to whether Durant and Westbrook stay long-term-wise. But, you know, you're going to have, like, say that there's an opportunity for at least one season with those guys, and that, you know, he can build the experience of working with two all-star players, and that, you know, high caliber all-star players, you know, and so that'll give him a confidence sort of thing, and a good way to dip his toes in the NBA in that sense, and not coming into, like, we'll say, like a 76ers situation.
Yeah, and you know, you look at like the job Brad Stevens has done in Boston.
Yeah,
certainly the way the NBA game is evolving, these sometimes is a tough transition to the college game, not just for players but for coaches as well. We've seen so many times before.
Yeah,
but...
well, we didn't really anticipate that the Celtics would make the playoffs, especially with you know, them blowing up their roster pretty much entirely. So
if they were tanking, they certainly failed in that.
Oh yeah. So yeah, I mean, it's an interesting situation and dynamic in that sense. So yeah.
Moving on to a bit of a sad story that you passed along to me before we started recording. Former NBA player Javaris Crittenden has pled guilty in a fatal shooting, innocent with a fatal shooting, pled guilty to manslaughter in the 2011 shooting death of a mother of four, sentenced to 23 years in prison. His career certainly went down the tubes, even worse than Gilbert Arenas after their famous, or infamous, I should say, confrontation,
yep.
altercation, incident in the locker room when they were playing for the Wizards. It's a shame to see this happens to a lot of people, I suppose, every day. And the fact that he was used to be on TV as a professional athlete is what draws our attention to him. But it sucks to see another athlete, you know, someone else that we watched. Not, obviously not someone we idolized or anyone, like, not a Jordan-esque kind of a...
Fall from grace kind of thing.
Absolutely, and just see someone's life. And of course, the fact, you know, the family who's lost a mother and daughter and wife and whatever, you know, it's a bit of a... more than a bit. It's certainly a tragic situation all around.
Sure.
But you look at Arenas as well. For a while there, this up and coming star, this rising star, His chip on the shoulder routine got a little bit on the nose towards the end of his career. It's like, okay, yep, you. Somebody insults you when you drop 60 points on them. Yes, okay, we get it. Especially when he was no longer able to drop 60 points on anyone. But yeah, that's that incident didn't really sort of fall. Lives seemed to spiral out of control, or certainly the professional career. I think Arenas has actually been staying out of trouble, but certainly not in the NBA spotlight anymore. But yeah, that's kind of a sad story to end on that. But it's certainly a tough mistake to make,
That's
I
for
think,
sure.
something like
And yeah, it
that.
is.
And just also reading, he was also arrested on drug charges, was out on bond, so certainly was certainly troubled.
That's for sure. And yeah, he wasn't like the most obviously talented player, but just a wasted opportunity in the circumstances that he was in that, to make the NBA and it essentially say
Yeah.
piss it away.
Absolutely. And I mean, the controversy in Australia the last couple of days, certainly about the Bali 9 executions, a political discussion that perhaps we won't get into on a basketball podcast. But what it comes down to, certainly, it is a shame to see people making poor decisions, and the fallout from them. It's, it affects from people directly, and that's a shame. But certainly, whole communities feel the brunt of these actions.
Yeah.
But that sort of brings us down a little bit. But I do actually have some good news to end on. We don't have a funny tweet this week. We simply have some good news to report, at least for us, being the Nike fanboys that we are. But this is from a couple of weeks ago, April 17th. This was posted. You've spoken about it before, Ben, the Adidas not having their contract renewed when it's up in a couple of years' time. With the as the official uniform provider of the NBA, but the reports are that Nike will indeed replace them when the time comes. That is the current strongly suggested rumor.
Yeah, well, they're the number one sportswear manufacturer in the world. They got the global market down pat. Under Armour is not a bad choice. They're probably, they're second in sales in the US and even parts of Europe right now. So they're definitely up and coming, but they probably don't have the global stamp yet. That Nike do and that. So if the NBA makes that, well, it looks like it's pretty much signed and like it's going to happen and that. And I think potentially announced within the next few weeks. I heard potentially ended now announced at the end of the month and that. So who knows? Probably half hour after we finish this podcast,
Like everything
they
else,
might.
yeah.
There's that possibility, or there's that good chance of it announcing. The NBA is actually announcing other partnerships. We mentioned last podcast the PepsiCo announcement from Sprite and Coke and all that stuff. Stance Socks, the official will be the official sock supplier for the NBA next season. So, things are.
And this is why we need modding back in 2K. So, because what if it's not accurate? What if the socks are not accurate, Ben? What do we say? Pre-order
Yep,
cancelled?
exactly. Them socks physics.
Oh no! It's the wrinkles on the socks—they're just not. Lazy, lazy. Fire everyone.
So yeah, I mean, there's some big changes coming into the NBA in terms of sponsorships and partnerships and stuff like that.
All leading up to advertising on the jerseys.
Part of speculation of the deal is that there could be a swoosh or a Jumpman logo on the uniforms because it's looking like the NBA will utilize both the Nike and the Jordan brand, which makes a lot of sense because they're both very strong. I mean, look at Jordan's shoe empire at the moment, and even on eBay, one in every $3 spent on eBay is a pair of Jordan shoes. That's huge.
That's a mind-blowing statistic, yeah.
So yeah, that there's a huge potential there, and that even ADAS couldn't even.
There's no, yeah, can't really compete with
Yeah,
that
they
statistic.
don't have that brand power in terms of that.
Yeah, I mean it'll be cool because we are Nike fanboys. I continue to wear Nike for both basketball and running shoes. I guess that's just been pounded into my head as a Jordan fan, but whatever, I like them.
And I think about between 85 to 90% of my shoes are within the Nike and Jordan brand family, and that, I've definitely worn a few other brands, and especially of late, bought a few different ones and that. But yeah,
Not the Adidas Rose, I imagine.
no, I actually,
Not a ringing endorsement these past couple of
yeah,
years.
it's there's that uncertainty of risk. Is like, can that happen to me? And is it the right? Although I've had instances wearing Adidas shoes where sometimes they're too wide, or even two of my friends, they've bought two retros, from like their like early Kobe Adidas ones and all that stuff. And
Feet you wear.
yeah, well, that's apparently not even the same type of. There's is very different to what it originally was, in that. From what I heard back in the day, it was very comfortable and very good. But two of my friends have had their feet ripped to shreds playing one game in their shoes, and that, and they've never.
Oh, that's not a particularly ringing endorsement,
No,
no.
so, and two of the shoes that they had, I mean, there were two Adidas ones that I did relatively like, and I was actually considering getting, because they actually came out in this past year and that. But after seeing my friend's feet after playing and that, it was like, yeah, I won't be
Perhaps
doing,
not.
yeah.
Yeah.
And
Well, I said the one thing we can say, because we are running a bit long with this episode, the one thing I'll say is, Nike fanboy, obviously, but if this means the end of sleeve jerseys, fantastic. And that's my one note to Nike. If anyone from Nike is listening, please get rid of those sleeve uniforms.
yep. And I'll add one quick thing. Like, I don't know if you've seen the Michigan State Spartans and the Tar Heels new uniforms in that for
Yeah, I think you've
both
mentioned this
the
before, yeah.
NCAA and that, for the football and even the basketball stuff. Those new designs look freaking awesome. If they're able to carry that kind of strength in that and bring that into the NBA, then there's going to be some wicked designs, that's for sure. So yeah, I'm looking forward to it, and that announcement being officially made. So
Absolutely. But there was one other topic that I just noticed that we missed this week, which was the award winners. A couple of them have been announced. Actually, we'll push that back to the next episode because we have run a bit long. Usually, the way it goes when we haven't recorded for a week or so, a lot to catch up
yep.
on. But some good discussion as always this week. Always fun to get together to record. Missed it last week, but yeah, no phone line, no for only with only my smartphone for data, and that is expensive. So
Podcasts and smoke
back.
signals don't really work the
Not exactly, no.
same. Morse code, maybe.
I mean, I would have flown up there and we could have recorded it in person, but couldn't get to the airport, so with all the bad weather, so it was, and no flights are coming out of there anyway, so it seemed to be the most convenient thing to do was to put it off for a week. But that does bring us to the end of another episode. Hopefully you've enjoyed listening to it. In fact, if you did and you haven't already, we invite you to subscribe to us on iTunes. You can also keep streaming the podcast every week here on the NLSC. You may have noticed on the front page, or on all pages on the main site, we now have now appears up in the right-hand corner of the site. You can actually play it from anywhere on the main page. The latest episode will always be shown there. You can always click the podcast link at the top or play it straight from the news post. Either way, as long as you're listening to us and enjoying it, that's the main thing. As far as social media goes, always invite you to subscribe to us or connect with us. You can like us on Facebook, facebook.com/theNLSC. Follow us on Twitter, it's @theNLSC. And I imagine most people know it by now, but nevertheless, always encourage you to keep it locked to the NLSC itself, nba-live.com for the modding, the feature articles, and everything else that we're looking to do now and in the future. But yes, that will do it for episode number 115 of the NLSC podcast.
I hope you enjoyed it. It's been fun to get back into the routine.
Absolutely. I am Andrew.
I'm Arcane, and I'm hoping that we can get the special guest that we've approached in the past few days.
Indeed, and just like a couple of teams in the who were in the playoffs recently, we're going fishing.
See
See you next week.
you next week.